the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tonight is Maundy, Thursday. The word Maundy, coming from a Latin word very close to mandate, for us, we look at a command given to us by the Lord. That's what Maundy means, a command. And there's a twofold focus on Maundy, Thursday. You heard one in the epistle reading and one in the gospel reading tonight. We have the institution of the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. We also have the washing of our disciples' feet by our Lord Jesus Christ. The command also we need to see is twofold. A twofold command our Lord gives us, reminds us of. The first is this. Think of this. The command to receive love from me, the Lord says. How? He takes bread, he takes wine, he makes it his body, he makes it his blood, and he shares all the eternal benefits of himself and his kingdom with us in giving us them. Receive my love. Do this in remembrance of me. He commands us. And he also commands us that by the reception of that love, that by seeing love in action, as with the washing of the feet, we can now become love to one another. Just a few verses after this, in the gospel reading from St. John chapter 13, our Lord really summarizes the nature of these commands when he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And so tonight we consider two truths. One is that the love of Christ our God is so wondrously revealed as he offers us his body and blood in the Eucharist and as he washes the feet of his disciples. And the other truth is this: if we do not receive and experience the love and the mercy of God into our lives, then we have no prayer of becoming love, which we were created to become in the very beginning. And that is our salvation. So the Eucharist, we simply must come to an understanding that every time we gather together for Eucharist, we are being showered by the great gift giver with so many undeserved benefits and blessings. God is love, and the nature of love is to share himself, to constantly share himself. And that is precisely what our Lord is doing in the Eucharist. The Scripture-filled Mass communicates so many eternal benefits the Lord's actively doing as he offers us his body and blood as we take him into ourselves. Just hear a few of these, and I have to preface this. I no longer want you to hear theory. I do not want you to hear systematic theology or an intellectual proposition when I speak to you what God speaks to us about what the Eucharist is all through the Mass. What you're about to hear is what God desires to actively do for you as he shares himself with you. One of the things that he says, "This is my blood shed for the remission of your sins." When we take his blood, he is covering our sins. He is washing us. He is forgiving our sins. He cleanses. He washes as we come to him, just as he washed the feet of his disciples. The Eucharist, it grants us grace, divine power to be elevated, to ascend, to be made whole again by the taking thereof. We say that the Eucharist is for our deliverance. Every time we come, the Eucharist is for our deliverance from all evils of the past, evils that have been done to us that have broken us, evils that we have done that have done damage to us and broken us, past, present, and to come, we receive deliverance. At the Eucharist, do we not say Christ grants us his peace, my peace I give unto you in exchange for our internal chaos. He shares with us, he desires to share and impart into us the peace that he has and the peace that he is. He wants to give it to us. In St. John chapter 6, Christ tells us another incredible gift bestowed upon us through his body and blood, as he says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." My friends, I could go on and on. That is a snippet of all that God reveals that he wants to do for us to experience, not consider, not think about, but to experience in our lives when his disciples gather together at this table and our Lord presides and he takes bread and wine, makes body and blood. He does all of these things for us if we will come to him with an open soul, with this much faith, not a ton, this much faith that he actually wants to do these things, that he actually wants to share himself and his love with us when we sit at table with him right here. And he commands this. Oh, I love this. We think of his commands as hardships. We have a problem. His commands are of love. And he commands us to remember him this way. He commands us to receive him. That is a beautiful, beautiful thing. What about the manifestation of the love of God revealed by experience as our God would wash his disciples' feet? So much is shown about the true nature of love, which is the true nature of our God, and that is the humility of love. The humility within the Lord your God that is love. We see the Word of God lowering himself to perform one of the most lowly duties of a common servant, washing clean the filthy feet of his disciples. The Word of God who cast off the robe of his glory to become man, now he further disrobes of the poor clothing that he had. And he puts on even lower clothing, the clothing of the lowest servant, to wash the feet of those he created. Filthy feet and those with broken and dirty souls. He bows before them and washes their feet. Up until that point, we saw people anointing his feet, weeping at his feet. And now he comes and bows before his disciples and washes them clean. But you know, our Lord ran into one complication as he was doing so. Unfortunately, that complication would come from our Saint Peter. Peter was extremely uncomfortable with the idea of his master, his Lord, washing his feet and doing such a lowly task for him. You see, there was a broken framework in our patron saint. There's a broken framework in him as he thought it's not appropriate that a master should perform such a lowly duty and do it for his disciples. And what he did not see is that there was something in him that was preventing him from accepting and receiving great mercy and love from his master and from his Lord. And I wonder just how often we are like our patron saint. Oh, we believe in the mercy, and we believe in the love of God intellectually and theoretically, but because of the way that we see ourselves, because of those areas in our lives that we would call unhealthy guilt and shame over what we have done, or over the things that have been done to us, all of which can cause us to devalue ourselves in our own estimation, and by our broken and limited judgment, we keep Christ at bay, just like Peter was doing at the washing of the feet. We refuse to let the Lord wash us, to share himself with us. We don't let him in that close where we just might experience such wondrous love and such wondrous mercy. But thank God our Lord would help Peter, as he will help us if we will but ask. He says to Peter, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me. And Peter knew what he meant. When he says, you have no part in me, it means you have no fellowship in me. St. Bede says this. Here it's clearly pointed out that this washing of the feet implies the spiritual purification of body and soul, without which we cannot arrive at our created fellowship with Christ. Without that washing. And that was the opposite of what Peter desired in his heart of hearts. He longed to remain in fellowship with his Lord and his Savior. And the thought of not having that blessed fellowship broke him. We think it's kind of in a funny way, but I see it as both funny and meaningful, because he goes, when he hears about not having fellowship with him, oh Lord, not just my feet, wash me all over. It sounds funny, but that was the heart of Peter that wanted his Christ. Are we like that? Is that us? Oftentimes, I fear not. Tonight, the love of God is shown clearly for us in the Eucharist and in Christ's washing of the feet. He has given us a command to experience that love in our lives by these remembrances of Him. And I also say again, unless we let the Lord wash us and lavish upon us His great love and mercy, as His nature is always moving to do, we have no prayer of healing and becoming love as He has commanded. We have got to ask the Lord to help us get beyond our brokenness that prevents us from experiencing, not thinking about, experiencing His love and mercy as He helped our blessed Saint Peter. Because when we truly experience the divine love and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, everything changes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.